And if you go to Titus chapter 1, verse 5, I think just the word says here, the reason I left you in Crete was that you might put in order what was left unfinished and appoint elders in every town as I directed you. There is a reason why I left you in Crete, because Crete was not one of the most Christian places to stay in or to be in. But I think just Titus was being agitated. I'm just, Paul, why don't you take me with you? Why do you leave me in this place? Just, it's nice to be with you. You can see miracles performed. You can see people healed. You can see demons being cast out. You can see so many things. And you can imagine, Paul was one of the greatest apostles. He saw Jesus. He saw heavens opened. He went to the third heaven. Just you can imagine such a miraculous event, such wonderful things happened in his life. But why don't you take me with you? But Paul said, there is a reason why I left you there. When we come to Christianity, when we came to know Jesus, the very and the best thing for God to do for each one of us is to take us home straight away. Yeah? To take us home straight away. Because there is nothing like heaven on just, I mean, can you compare earth to heaven? Just, you cannot compare the earth to heaven. Heaven, just, you know, the streets are even just, there is no roadworks. The streets are full of gold. You can imagine precious stones. And there is a master planner who did everything according to his eternal purpose. There is no sin. There is no drought, sickness. There is no hunger. There is no fight. There is no argument. Just people don't need to argue there. Everything is perfect. But the very first thing he would have said, welcome home. Now you believed in my son Jesus, and I will take you home. But God is saying this. The reason I left you in Aldershot, in this place, the reason I left you in Reading, in Wokingham, in London, in some parts of Africa, Asia, wherever it may be, the reason I left you there is to finish the work which I have started in you. Hallelujah. There is a work the Lord has started in you. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. He is not only the author, the beginner, or the starter of our faith. He is also the finisher of our faith. Therefore, just God, when God says from the top, he will say every morning, my son, how are you doing? Are you working? Are you doing the work I have given you? Have you finished the work? If not, okay, I will give you another one more year. I'm not saying that those who are living longer are not fulfilled. I'm not saying that. But, you know, the longer it takes, God has got more work to do just for within us. The longer, just 80, 90, 100, as we live longer, there is always an assignment. Hallelujah. You will never, ever retire in the kingdom of God. You will never, ever. If you are dreaming of retirement, just say, Father, take me home. Hallelujah. Never, never dream of retirement. You may stop work, but you will never stop the kingdom work. And when you come to this, therefore, just Titus said, I think, Paul, how can I finish the work? There is a question. Just when God says, finish the work, do this thing, and just you say the next day, how can I do this? But Paul wrote the three chapters to let Titus know how to finish the work. Hallelujah. How to finish the work. And some of it is just, I will add my testimony, personal testimony. As you can see, my hair is gone. I'm not anymore 21. I'm a little bit older than that, maybe. But you know, just I will add my personal testimony as well. Just I grew up in a Christian family, and it's not boasting or anything, but I have never even drunk alcohol in my life. It's not a positive thing or negative thing, but just the way I grew up in a very protective Christian family, conservative Christian family. But I came to know Jesus when I was around 15, 16 years old. I had to know just God personally. Therefore, just I will add my personal testimony if it helps, but it's nothing like the Word of God. Hallelujah. The Word of God is above everything. Therefore, just Paul said, just okay, I will give you three key points. Chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3. The first one is chapter 1, it's all about appoint. Chapter 2 is all about teach. Chapter 3, it's all about remind. I mean, these things, I mean, when I read the book of Titus, I thought just, I mean, oh, it is coming together. Appoint, teach, remind. Can we say it together? Appoint, teach, remind. Again, appoint, teach, remind. People do say, we need to be told 30 times to remind something. Women, they need to be told only 10 times. You can imagine how clever you are. And that's why in every man's life, there is always a strong, wonderful woman. Just, yeah? Therefore, just, I don't want to repeat it 30 times, but you can do this at home. But for now, just you have said it already twice, and it's good. Appoint, teach, remind. Appoint, teach, remind. Appoint, teach, remind. Hallelujah. Just what does appoint means? What does appoint mean? Why do we need to appoint people? Just, I mean, look, just we want to be a boss of our own, yeah, every time. Why do we need people? When I graduated from uni, the first thing what I said is, I don't want to have a manager. I don't want to work under anyone. And I want to be my own boss. Then just I went to the hiring institution. Teaching. Just I said, just I will be my own manager. Just I will have students and that's it. But as time goes by, there is always authority. I came to know that there is always authority. You have to understand authority. You have to understand how God works. There is always a line top down. It doesn't mean one is superior, the other one is inferior, but there is always authority in the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. You cannot break that authority. You cannot break that authority. And do you know, why do we need to appoint people? The very first thing is, you know, just it's not written in Titus. Just don't quote me. You cannot do it by your own. You cannot, just you can imagine Mike leading, worshiping, teaching, hospitality, doing everything. Can he do it by himself? No. One person cannot do it by himself. The first thing. And the next thing is, we are living in a very evil world. Whether you admit it or not, the world is not a safe place for Christianity. Whether you admit it or not. Just last time we went to Israel, and we thought, just we love Israel, don't you? Yeah, we love the Jewish people because they are the covenant people. Even though they are disobedient to the covenant people, we know that they are covenant people. They don't know the covenant, they are disobedient to Jesus, to the King Jesus, but we know that they have got a word, a promise. And we went to Israel and we thought, just we had one-to-one conversation with some of them. And just what we have perceived is, the Arabs, they don't like Christians. And the Jewish, we thought that just we would get sympathy, but they don't like us even. Yeah, just look, we thought at least we have got a common background. Yeah, when we see verses on walls and so on, Isaiah and so on, my people who are called by name. Wow, what an amazing verse. And then just when we turn back and to those who wrote that verse on the wall, they are not welcoming. Just you can feel the spirit, you can sense it. Can you imagine? Christianity is a hated religion. It's a hated religion because this world hated Jesus. They didn't welcome him. They didn't welcome him. And one way or the other, don't go out to get acceptance. Go out to preach the gospel. That's what we have been told. And the next one, when you see, why do we need to appoint people? Do you know what? God's house has a pattern. There is a pattern. How do you appreciate a builder? A builder, just in your sense, I mean, who is the best builder? A person who does things, different shapes, different bricks, different colors, different just arrangements, architectural beauty, and so on. And I mean, you may say, oh, that person is amazing. I saw it, just art is good. I heard about one guy, and he put a paint on the wall just in a show. And everybody was fighting to buy that paint. And just, I mean, you know, just they couldn't figure it out, just what it means. It was really just, I mean, they were fighting, just they were arguing. Oh, it means that no one could agree on something, on one thing. And just they were, I mean, keeping up the bid price. And finally he was asked, what was in your mind when you painted this? Nothing. I had nothing in my mind. Who painted it? It's not me. When I was doing a paint, you know, just add an ink next to just the canvas. And then my chicken came round and just she knocked it off. And then just it came become just like that. I mean, I didn't do anything. And then I said, it's good. Then just I posted it there. You know, it's not like that. God's house is not an accident. You know, God's house is not an accident. It has got a clear pattern. That's why God said to Moses, he said to Moses this one. Just I will read this for you. Make this tabernacle and all its furnishings exactly like the pattern I will show you. Exodus 25:9. Exactly like the pattern I will show you. You can imagine, when God shows you a pattern, he wants you to copy that, not to add your own. It doesn't work like that. Yeah, some part of God and some part of me, and we will come together like a big team. No, just it's not like all of God and nothing of you. Hallelujah. That's how the kingdom of God works. 100% God, 0% you. 100% strength from God, 0% from you. Just that's how the kingdom works. And it's like marriage as well. Just, I mean, if you expect something from another side, from the opposite, from your spouse, just it's not like that. You give it all. That's what Jesus said. You give it all. When God said, I'm just, he didn't reserve anything for himself. He said, I will give you everything what I have. When he even blessed us in Ephesians, it says, he blessed us in every spiritual blessing. The so-called, you call it spiritual blessing, God has blessed you with that. And he didn't hold back anything for himself. Therefore, God's house has got a pattern. That pattern is only provided by God himself. Therefore, just I will come to the builder. The best builder in the world is the person who follows the plan. Hallelujah. If you give him a 3-bedroom house and if he gives you a wonderful golden plated studio, will you be happy? No. If you give him, just if you ask him to make the corridor, just I'm not building an American house, 5 meters wide. Look, just I mean, when I went to America just the last time, the offices are so wide, so big, you can drive your Mini there. Just 2 minutes, one here, the other one. Just it's a nice place. Therefore, if you give him a 3 meters wide corridor, he has to build it like 3 meters. If he makes it 1.5 meter, no matter how beautiful it is, will you be happy? No. Therefore, just God has got a plan, a master plan for each one of you. You don't need to add it on, to amend it. You are supposed to live it. You are supposed to live it. Just enjoy it and have life in it. Therefore, that's why God said, appoint, so that somebody has to do the architecture, the other one has to do the building, the other one has to do the decoration, the other one has to do the looking after, and appoint elders. Who are you appointing in your lives? Are you hanging out with the crowd, which is not healthy? Do you have friends which are always dragging you to the other side of the show? Do you have people who are always giving you trouble rather than encouraging you, building you up? Are you hanging out with people just who are promoting immoral activities? What are you surfing? Even nowadays, our friends are becoming mobile phones, and the children even just, you can see. What are you surfing? Are you surfing those things which are not appropriate? Are you surfing just something which is edifying you? Therefore, the things which you are appointing in your lives, they are critical. The next one is, Paul was not finished. He said, it's not only about appointing. Do you know what? You can have a wonderful structure. You can have a wonderful layout, organizational channels, all these things. But there is something which is missing. You know? Just no matter how much the building is beautiful, no matter everything is put in its place, the next one is something has to sustain it. And that is, he said, you have to teach people as well. Hallelujah! You have to teach people. And why do we need to teach people? Just if you go to the next verse, just Titus 2, verse 11 to 13. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. Don't confuse. There are two types of ages in the Bible. Only two. One is the present age, and the other one, the age to come. There are only two ages. This is the present age. It's not about, God is not concerned about the age to come. God is concerned about the present age. Therefore, in this earth, while you are here in the present age, you have to teach. And who is the best teacher in the world? You can tell me so many things, but nothing like the grace of God. Hallelujah! Nothing like the grace of God. The grace of God is the best and the ultimate teacher that God has given us. What does grace mean? Grace means it is unmerited favor. You don't deserve it, but you have it. Yeah, you don't deserve it, but you have it. For example, look, just if somebody comes to you and say, okay, who is living in a mansion here? Who's living in a mansion? I will pick Mike anyway, just sorry, apologies. Mike, for example, he's living in a three-bedrooms house, let us say. Currently, he's living in a three-bedrooms house. And I will come, Mike. Do you know what, Mike? Just, I have something interesting for you. Oh, what is that? I love surprises. I will have a 12-bedrooms house, 16 bathrooms. Nowadays, the bathrooms are getting higher than the bedrooms, yeah? I don't know the reason, but it is like that anyway. And a beautiful mansion. You have a garden. Just even you don't have to look after it. Just the workers will come together. And everything will be. And then just, Mike, the first thing which comes to his mind is, how much does it cost me? Do you know? The moment I mention the bedrooms, all these things, he is calculating, he is adding up the price here. But I said to him, Mike, you don't have to do anything. Here we go. He didn't deserve it, but he has it all. You know, when we think about Jesus, we didn't deserve the grace of God, but we have it all. Hallelujah. We have it all. You know, just when people give you something, they will give you sparingly. But when God gives you something, he gives you all. Nothing will be left behind. He gives you all. What does the grace does? What will the grace do in our lives? The first thing the grace does is he will teach us to live soberly, self-controlled. When you want to be angry, just the grace of God says, I'm here, calm down. Hallelujah. When you want to say something bad, the grace says, I'm here, calm down. And sometimes, most of the time, I get feedback from my, you know, when you work, you have annual reviews and so on. I get the feedback from those, just my managers. And the very first feedback always I get is, you are calm and collected, just you don't get upset easily. Oh, you didn't know me. You didn't know me. I can't go through the roof. You didn't know me. It's only the grace of God. It's only the grace of God. It's not something which I learned from my parents or from someone else or from somewhere else. It's not about the training or just, you know, this all these anger management courses and so on. They can do a bit, nothing more. Just nothing. Just they are not, they cannot do it all. Hallelujah. You know, just when you come to the grace of God, you will have a self-controlled life. It's not about techniques. It's about the grace. Ask for the grace of God. And do you know what? I'm not only concerned about you. I'm concerned about the influence you have around you. And therefore, the grace says it will help us to live righteously. You know, we are righteous in the eyes of God. No matter what we do, we are righteous. We are sat, we sat at the right hand of God in Christ Jesus. That's what the word says. But how do other people know that we are the children of God? By living a righteous life. When you live righteously, people will know that you are children of God. Therefore, just do you know what righteousness means? Right standing with God. Do you know what? When God walks, you walk. When God goes backwards, you go. When God moves, you move. You stand right next to God. Your righteousness is not from you. Do you know what? You are not an angel outside and you are a problem in your house. God is concerned about your personal life and your outward life as well. Righteously. And people will see you, just when they see you, they say, I can see God in your life. And it's not only about that. You are good at home, now you are good outside. But you have to look forward as well. You have to look. And it says like this, and godly in the present age. That means what? Do you know what godly means? Godly means taking God seriously. Nothing more. You take God seriously. If you take something seriously, what? You will be concerned about that and you will take care of things which are concerning you. And therefore, just the next one, what it does is you have to teach and at the same time you have to look forward. You have to look forward. How do we look forward? Because unless you have a hope, you cannot look forward. Unless you have a hope. You know, there is a hope, then just you say, I look forward to see my new thing. I look forward to have a good vacation. I look forward to go to somewhere. I look forward to have a nice future. Just you look forward. And that's what the Bible says. You have to look forward. That is the work of the grace of God. Hallelujah. That's the work of the grace of God. And the grace will enable you to look forward. What are we going to look forward? The first thing is, we are looking forward only for Jesus. For Jesus to come as a king. He came as an individual. Now we are waiting him to come as a king. He came to save individuals. Now we are waiting for him to come to save societies. You know, communities, countries, nations. He came first for crucifixion, to die on the cross. Now he's coming to just to be a king and to be glorified. He had a crown of thorn, now a crown of glory. No? He came just in the first instant to stand in front of Pilate. Now Pilate is standing in front of the judgment seat of Jesus Christ. Do you know what? When we have a perspective to look forward, that is the point where, oh, thank you for the grace of God. I couldn't have done this without the grace of God. Do you know what? This is the work of the grace of God. Nothing for you. Nothing of you. Therefore, the next one is teach. How to teach? We have to deny the world, and we have to live righteously, and we have to live a godly life. And the last one is, Titus said, chapter 3, remind them. Remind them. Do you know what? Titus chapter 3 says, remind them. Chapter 3:5, it says, remind them. Why do we need to remind them? Remind means there. It's not a one event, a one-time act. It is a continuous tense. Keep on reminding them. What is he going to remind us? I will tell you this and we will finish. To remember to live obedient and kind lives. Chapter 3, verse 1 to 2, it says this. Remind the people to be subject to rulers, authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable, considerate, and always be gentle toward everyone. Do you know what? Why do we need to remind our children? How often do you remind your children to do the right thing? I think most of you have got a wealth of experience here raising up children. How often do you need? 10 times? 20 times? 30 times? I would say no limit. There's in our house, shoe free area. And also areas where you cannot eat. You cannot eat in the living room. You cannot eat in the bedroom. There are areas. But we keep on reminding our children every time. Why? Do we say that, oh, I reminded you last year, I reminded you yesterday, and I will not do it now? No, we keep on reminding our children. And the Lord wants us always to remind something. Because, you know, it's easy to go off track nowadays. Especially nowadays. It's easy to lose balance, to lose focus. There are so many distractions around us which are trying to get our attention. It's about, you know, just how many social medias are there? Just mass media, Twitter, Facebook, TikTok, whatever. Just tell me, Instagram. And what else? Thread. And the truth came as well recently, yeah? Yeah? Thanks to Trump, he came up with the truth. Whether it is lives it up to his name or not, we don't know. But, you know, there are so many things coming up. It's all about grabbing your attention. It's all about drawing your attention. And do you know what? The very first, in any advertisement, the very 2, 3, or 5 seconds of the advertisement, they must be spectacularly great so that they can draw people's attention. Otherwise, you will not watch the rest. But when you come to the kingdom of God, God is saying, just my child, you are going off track. I will keep on reminding you to do the right thing. I will keep on reminding you to do the right thing. Never ever lose hope. Going off track by itself is not a disappointment. Coming back, not coming back to the right path is a disappointment. Do you know what? If you go off track, that's not a problem. But if you refuse to come to the right track, that's the problem. That's what it says. Titus, keep on reminding them. Don't lose hope in reminding them. They have to live obedient and kind life. They have to remember where they used to be. Wow. Have you seen presidents, prime ministers? Have you seen just government officials, or even the rich people, when they first came to prominent position? Have you seen them? There is no one like them. They are very humble, down to the earth. We are here to serve you. Nothing more. We are here to serve you. Nothing more. But, you know, as years go by, the first year, the next year, the third year, the fourth year, oh, he's no longer there. Because he is off track. He is out of touch from the people. Just he no longer understands what the people want. He is in that bubble, or she is in that bubble. You can imagine. That's why the word of God says, keep on reminding them where they came from. Even for the things of doing good. Do you know, David once said, oh, I'm so happy that God brought peace just in my kingdom. I want to build the house of God. What's wrong about that, building the house of God? That's a very pleasant idea. It's a very spiritual idea. He didn't say, I want a mansion. He said, I want to build the house of the Lord. But do you know what the Lord said to him? David, don't forget where I brought you from. You know, you were a shepherd. God is not putting him down, but he is reminding him where he was before. Do you know what? It's always to remember where we came from. You know, if we didn't have anything in the past, I mean, now just if we have everything, do you know what? My soul, don't be proud by anything you have. There is no reason. If God can bring you just from those destitute situation to this place, there is no way. It's also possible the other way. God can take you to the backwards. I mean, there is no guarantee that you could stay here forever. He can take you back if he wants. Do you know what? Don't think pride of anything. Just keep on reminding yourself, I was that, but now I have become here. I was forgotten, but now I'm remembered. I was left alone, but now I'm in the middle of the crowd of the God's family. Do you know what? I didn't have anything, but now I have everything. I was sick, but now I'm healed. I couldn't see, I was blind, but now I can see. What a wonderful statement it is. Therefore, remember. Remember the great salvation of God as well. Hallelujah. Remember, there are always many things to be thankful. There are always many things to be thankful. But there is always one thing to be grumpy at the same time. You will find at least one thing to be grumpy. But there are multitudes. There are multiple of things to be thankful. Hallelujah. For your breath, you can imagine. You were not breathing before just you came to this world. At least, just you can imagine. You were nothing. Just you didn't have even a single cloth on your body when you came to this world. Can you imagine? God gave you everything so that you can praise him, so that you can he can keep you on track by providing you what you need. And today, as we conclude, it's coming to an end already, yeah? As we conclude, please, Do not forget to appoint people. Do not forget to enroll yourself in the school of grace. That is fellowship with the Holy Spirit. Fellowship with the Holy Spirit. When you fellowship with the Holy Spirit, it's not about only laughter. It's not about only joy. It's about that having that intimacy with Him. Hallelujah. And do not forget to remind yourself when your soul starts to bounce. Just, I did it. I did it. Just when your soul starts to be crazy. You, do you know what? My soul, listen to me. You were nothing. God has brought you this far. Only by His grace. Let's all stand up and pray together. Hallelujah. 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 Talk to Him. Talk to Him saying that, God, show me the right blueprint in my life. Teach me and keep on reminding me. The Holy Spirit is labeled as a reminder. Jesus said, He will remind you the things which I have taught you. He will remind you. And the work of the Holy Spirit is reminding people as well. And let's have that fellowship with this Holy Spirit. He teaches us through the grace of God. And He reminds us. And also He shows us the right thing to appoint or to involve people and to understand the blueprint of God. Heavenly Father, at this moment, we repent, Lord, just for the things which we have done. We have gone off track. But we ask You, Father, You are merciful, You are gracious. Lord, just bring us back to the right track. Bring us back to the right place, Father. And Father, we ask You to help us to open our eyes so that we may hang out with the right crowd, to appoint the right people in our lives, to involve the right people, the right message in our lives, Father. Oh Lord, help us by Your grace to have, Lord, just to deny the world, and Lord, just to live a godly life, and at the same time to look forward to Your glory, the second coming of Jesus Christ. Oh Father, by Your Holy Spirit, keep on reminding us the things which are taking us, Lord, just off track. Keep on reminding us, and Lord, just bring us back to the right track and to the right place, Father. Lord, we mess up. Not only once, not only twice. We mess up always. But thank You for Your mercy. You will keep us. You will bring us back to the place of restoration. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen. God bless you. You may be seated. Hallelujah. And I will pass it to Mike here. Yeah.